Yes, we're going to be talking with Hayden C. Hughes. Mr. Hughes is an official researcher of unidentified flying objects and other unexplainable phenomena. He is now in his home in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He is the number one man to go to for information these days on Momo, who is a giant hairy biped. Momo smells like sulfur. It isn't just his smell, but the fact that he likes to grab dogs and rip them apart that scares or tends to cause anxiety in the hearts of many of the residents of southern Missouri. But we'll find out about Momo and some other rather unexplainable phenomena after this word.
This is Stan Freeberg speaking high in the Himalaya Mountains in northern India. I'm standing up to this particular creature. I see, then you are the abominable snowman.
That's right. I never cared for that word abominable too much, Stan. You mind if I call you Sam?
No, not at all.
Well, I never cared for abominable, but it's the nearest word translated from the original Hindustani, which was abominable, which means the hairy one with the big feet.
I can see you lost something in the translation. I was noticing your...
Noticing my sneakers.
If I had a long idea, what are they, about 12?
It ain't 12, it's like 23.
That's pretty big.
Well, it's function over grind, you know. Have you ever tried to walk on snow with ballet slippers? Roller skates?
Don't you have a little bit of trouble buying them? I mean,
well, I just can't walk into any old store and buy them. No, I have them specially made up for me.
Well, where do you get them?
Well, when I don't have the chance to drop my Abercrombie and Fitch, I send up the Spalding, they make them up for me. I have them in four colors, the white, the red, the pink, and the orange. I'm wearing the orange today.
Oh, that's very nice.
Well, that's the particular ensemble I put down today.
It's not much of an ensemble, is it? I mean, it's just the shoes.
Well, it's an ensemble to me, Some of us are too well off as others.
Oh, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Oh, that's all right.
It's all right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, that's fine.
Fine.
But what do you do for a living? You terrorize the mountains?
That's right. I terrorize the mountain climbers who come up here. That is my trade, and I am proud of it.
Is it hard work? You have to do a lot of training?
Well, I don't think everybody can do it, you know. They don't have the hair for it, for one thing.
Well, the sneakers, you're quite tall, you know. What are you, about 8, 9 feet?
No, I measure in around 10 and a half, buddy.
10 and a half feet tall? Gee, that's pretty tall.
To think I'm tall, you should see my brother. He's got center for abominable state.
Oh, I missed him. You had a pretty good day's work today?
No, it wasn't been too hard today. Go far now.
You, what was that again? Not much terrorizing?
No, not too much today.
Well, I wonder if you could give us a demonstration before we sign off of whatever it is you do to terrorize the mountain climbers?
Certainly.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Well, just stand back there and close your eyes. Close your little eyes, and I'll sort of sneak up behind you and look for anyone.
Let's fly with one what?
Never you mind, just turn your back.
Well, I think I have a turn
your mind, just turn your back, please.
No peeking.
All right. Don't you open your mouth now.
I won't.
All right. I'll just sneak up behind you now, tippy toe. Which is hard with no feet. Right thumb now.
Wow.
Oh, that white hair is very becoming. That's off your ruddy complexion.
Very nice.
Gee, that was effective. Well, I guess your time is up.
Oh, that's the same. You really don't have time for a quickie before you hit the site?
Oh, I really don't. Well, you forgive me. I gotta get back to work.
I see a mountain climber over there by the edge.
Oh, nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, sir.
Nice to see a man happy in his work.
On the line right now is Hayden C. Hughes and Mr. Dan Garcia, and they are both officials in the International Unidentified Flying Object Bureau, and they're talking to me from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We've had some trouble with the telephone contact from there, and just hoping you both come through loud and clear. I can hear a lot of noise anyway. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, very good. Mr. Hughes and Mr. Garcia, I'm hoping that most of the listeners have heard of MOMO, but I remember hearing first about it on one of our NBC newscasts about 3 weeks ago. It was a final item, and your organization was mentioned as having classified this being as a hairy biped, a giant hairy biped. May I ask where that term came from?
This term originated in 1970 with a study the Bureau undertook of approximately 300 UFO landings, where we took the description of the most commonly reported speed associated with the UFO. We found that this very long-armed biped standing on 2 feet was the third most commonly reported speed. When the Bureau started receiving news accounts of this type of description from the Louisiana-Missouri area, we thought that it warranted an on-the-spot investigation to determine, to see what MOMO, this Missouri monster, really was, if it was, in fact, one of our top three UFO objects. So we went through the Missouri area. We located approximately 20 people that either observed, saw, or have smelled a very strong odor associated with visual observation. There is no question that something unusual and strange is in the air.
Can you tell me the first sighting that you have on record of this latest hairy biped?
The sightings in and around Louisiana have persisted for the past 16 years. We took our account from 300 out of approximately 1,500 UFO landings around the world. One of the most recent cases happened in Vader, Washington in 1970, where a dome-shaped UFO was observed by several area residents. And these strange tracks that were somewhat similar to the tracks found in Louisiana were found coming out of the middle of a snow-covered field. The being was observed, and the description given was basically the same as MOMO. It is a leading theory by Bureau officials that this is an experimental animal in the form of something like a psychological experiment to possibly test men's reaction to something a little bit different than we would present like to see. In other words, history bears out the fact that the Earth has been apparently under surveillance by an advanced race of people. I believe that these people, these aliens, the percentage of UFOs that we cannot explain, about 20%, are observing our planet in a peacefully common. I think they can understand everything about mankind itself, our so-called sophisticated spaceships and technology, everything but man himself. And I think to test man before an actual face-to-face confrontation with the aliens, that an experimental animal such as the Type 3 might be employed to test man's psychological behavior. This will find the Bureau was interested in the report as well as we were down there.
I see.
Possibility that it was a hoax. We had the possibility that what the people were saying was a bear or a gorilla. And we had another possibility, seeing that of a troglodyte. And it's a very romantic Tuesday. It's quite possible to come from the civilization being we're living in the highly covered area. I will add that the Bureau has, over the past year, received reports of these strange beings from 5 continents and 13 states within the United States.
Do you know if any has ever been reported in the state of Ohio to this week?
I do not believe so. There's nothing to know about it at this time.
Okay. I read in the newspaper that it was a family named Harrison who first sighted Momo in Louisiana, Missouri. And for the benefit of the people listening who may not be familiar with his appearance, could you describe him as he was seen through that young lad Terry Harrison's eyes as he first laid eyes on what we now call Momo?
Well, I think that's a match for
that. All right, this is Mr. Garcia.
Yes. Terry described what he saw as a huge, hairy animal, which is the word that I believe he used. He saw it and became terrified of it. He ran screaming into the house, and his 15-year-old sister, Doris, looked out the back of the window, which was placed in the back of the house, and saw this. He described as a 6-foot hairy animal or creature swaying back and forth, standing there. They ran into the house, and they locked the doors in the house and called their mother and father, which is Mr. Harrison. And when they went back to look out the window, it was gone. Now, the boy has seen it and said he saw it holding a dog under its arm, I believe it was. That was when they first became acquainted, so to speak, with Momo. About a week after that, they heard it in the field behind their yard coming down. They became terrified, ran out of the house, and since then have not returned to the house.
Dan Garcia, when you say they heard it, does it make noises? Does it growl, or does it menace with its voice, or did they just hear the noise of it coming?
The sound has been described as anywhere from a loud growl to a deep, grunting, deep wolf sound on a short note. Now, when it makes a longer sound, it starts as a loud, deep growl, a wolf sound, and proceeds to a high, shrill sound as if an animal or a woman screaming or something along this line, a high, shrill sound towards the end.
How many people in Louisiana, Missouri have seen it in the past month since it first appeared?
It has been estimated. We located, it's been estimated as many as 50 people. We actually located the 20 people that had either heard, saw, or smelled it. In the Navy, the smelling reports are the most significant outside of the visual observation, in that your eyes can mislead you for most sightings outside of the Harrison observation before a sighting. There is occurred at approximately 3:30 in the afternoon. Your nose will tell you the truth. In other words, the very long odor of being described from a musky to a
Public Works there for 21 years as the foreman of the water department.
trying to catch a glimpse at night. He was hung from hand line from a nearby tree in an effort to lure the great Missouri monster nicknamed Momo to the specific location. He was called in last Monday by his supervisor, and he reported to us that he was told that he could not put monsters of the night and do the right job during the day and work for the water department. Therefore, he had lost his 21-year job. He told us he felt like it was his responsibility to his family to find out what was on their property. We are now receiving reports from the towns surrounding the Louisiana, Missouri area of similar type reports. Although, while we were in Missouri, Louisiana, we did talk with people who we had heard had observed the situation, but when we confronted them, they admitted that they were just going along with the story. There was one hoax uncovered in Illinois where a simple Halloween costume was found, and this was picked up by the press and explained as the Momo being a hoax. I might add that the Bureau has received many reports of this type within Oklahoma of recent date that did not make the wire services or the national news publicity. And it just so happens that this was after the convention and before the Republican convention, and it was just moved on the wire service.
I see. Well, the only physical proof that you have that there actually was a monster are the footprints, is that correct?
No, sir. We have several forms of evidence, and the evidence depends on one's constitution of proof and what you determine the evidence to be. We have visual observations, we have sounds heard described as very frightening, and we have the smell associated. Mr. Harrison did find tracks in the ditch where his boy Terry reported the being to be. He made faster appearance for us and turned these over to the Bureau for scientific analysis. He also turned over to the Bureau some hairs which were found near some of the tracks. Now these tracks were brought, faster hair tracks of the footprints, were brought to Oklahoma City. They were turned over to Mr. Lawrence Curtis, director of the Oklahoma City Zoo. Now, he examined the cast and made the statement that it is hard to deduce too much. Looking at all known animal tracks, they are not prints made by a living animal. And based on their examination, because in my opinion, he could not identify them, they were concluded to be fake. When asked how they were faced, he said possibly with rubber gloves. I talked with Mr. Harrison and asked him, did he use rubber gloves when he made the plaster of Paris print? He said, no. I said, did, and explained to him what the zoo said about it being hurt. He said, I can't understand that at all, because he had located several, and he showed them to us while we were there. And they were about 5 feet apart. So, it was determined by the zoo that because they couldn't identify them, the tracks were a hoax.
This council might relate the cigarettes and cigarettes by the other stuff that was in the
report. In December of 1970, there were some strange tracks found around Alena, Oklahoma, which is to the northwest of Oklahoma City. He analyzed these, he compared them to human, apes, monkeys, bears, and other animals, and made the statement, I don't know what it is. It resembles a gorilla, but it's more like a man. Because he could not identify these, he said they were our sole thing. So the hairs were at this point turned over to Mr. Curtis for analysis. He had told us previously that they had all types of animal hair there to compare them. Recently, he told the Bureau that it was difficult to say exactly what it is. it will soon say this. We have given him two heads. The heads will tell different enemies. One of them, in absolute ability, came from above. And of course, the report by Perry that he was holding the dog. And there are three dogs in the community. And they say that the other one, in absolute ability, came from the left too. But he added, we're really not sure. This is based on transmission of light through the hairs and the structure of the hair itself. I will admit there was the possibility that the tracks were not from the animal, only that they were found when the animal was observed standing. The bear was extremely hard to find, and that the hairs may not have pocketed in the bungalow, and that they were just retrieved from a specific area.
Well, you ought to come to Ohio sometime. We have them. Yes, we talked about it. Just a moment, gentlemen. Let me tell everyone again that we're talking with Hayden C. Hughes and Dan Garcia of the International Unidentified Flying Object Bureau, and we're talking to them from Oklahoma City, and the connection is not as good as we had hoped it would be. We've called them twice now, but the telephone lines just are not living quite up to par tonight, but I hope you're able to understand what these gentlemen are saying. They've been investigating Momo, the monster, in Louisiana, Missouri. Have there been any recent reports of activity by Momo, Mr. Hughes?
Well, let's say we have received additional reports from surrounding towns as recently as 11 o'clock this morning. I personally believe that there is more than one of these beings due to the difference in size, characteristics. Some are reported with a reddish brown hair. Others, such as Momo, with a black skin. The basic description of Momo is that of approximately 6 to 7 feet tall, with a short or no neck, face almost completely covered by a 2 to 4 inch gray shag fur, all except the chin area, which remains partially clean. The arms reach to or below the knees, and he was observed either from waist up or swaying back and forth. The most recent account we have is one similar to this, although not identical, near Joplin, Missouri. I believe that Momo, or I should say a relative of Momo, was shot in Wisconsin in the mid-60s. This being was preserved in ice and put on public display through carnivals throughout the Midwest for several years.
I've seen it.
Now, it is the same of Momo.
Yes, I've seen it.
This thing, which I have also seen, fit the same description down to a T of Momo. And it was the conclusion by Ivan P. Sanderson, science editor of Argosy magazine, and scientist from the Smithsonian Institution in Harvard and in Kew University, that admitted the specimen, which was an adult, male-like thing, differed from all types of modern men by six characteristics. And five of these characteristics have been reported in association with Momo. So it is quite possible, in my opinion, that Momo is a related being of some kind, ancient, something like a Neanderthal-type man living in the caves of Missouri. Therefore, a technical name or a popular name we could apply to Momo would be that of a troglodyte.
This is WKYC in Cleveland. We're talking with Hayden C. Hughes and Dan Garcia. There was one element of the description of the monster that I didn't hear from you, which I did hear on a few of the newscasts, and they mentioned that it seemed to many people that the being had eyes that glowed in the dark, which sounds really like science fiction. Have you heard anything about that?
True. This description basically came from our classification of our past three occupants. In other words, this is a description of the third most commonly reported, and in the wire services it got mixed in at some incidences as sounding like it was coming from Louisiana, Missouri.
But it wasn't actually a characteristic of Momo.
Description of the eyes did not fit in the Louisiana case.
Gentlemen, if such a being should appear anywhere within the radius of our signal tonight, and we cover about all of the eastern United States, if someone in Kentucky or down in West Virginia should come across something like this, what is the proper procedure?
We urge that if anyone sights a creature or being of this nature, that it seems from you. We do not feel that these creatures are going to harm anyone. Rather, they seem to shy away from the human. This may be that they are not familiar with humans, any more than we are familiar with them, and it's kind of a standoff situation. And, they would be curious, I think is more the word for it. And, they do seem to possess a great strength. They are extremely fast, according to all descriptions. And, if attacked, I would assume that they would in self-defense hurt someone. We are, in this instance, and we have come across the Momo case, have been urging that if there's any way at all possible that one of these creatures or beings can be taken alive, by all means to try, because it could be one of the greatest anthropological times in history. However, you do urge anyone to use extreme caution, use a better judgment as to whether they would want to try it or not.
I have one other question, and then we'll see what the people listening have to ask you. That question has to do with that smell, that sulfurous smell. Is there any theory as to why any living creature would exude such an odor?
The only theory I can advance at this time would be due to the fact of the shaggy hair and the staleness also associated with it, living in close quarters or in caves. In other words, he would definitely need a deodorant of some kind.
Apparently, from all the reports. Well, Mr. Hughes, Mr. Garcia, is it all right if we try to pick up some phone calls from our listeners on this end?
Certainly.
All right, I hope that they will come through clearly. If you have trouble understanding them, I'll try to translate, or at least to transcommunicate for you. Our number here in Cleveland is 578-1400, 578-1400 for Dan Garcia and Peyton C. Hughes talking to us from Oklahoma City. And you're on the air, please. You have to speak up rather loudly so that our guests in Oklahoma can hear.
Good evening, Clyde.
Good evening.
I have before me what is a letter from Mr. Ron Olson, North American Wildlife Research Organization. And they're attempting to capture and locate the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch, which is located in the western United States, in the Rocky Mountains. And the Momo almost sounds like that. It's a big Sasquatch or a Bigfoot. It's sort of the North American abominable snowman. And it almost sounds like he's a little bit out of place, but it could be the same thing. Have you contacted Mr. Olson concerning this?
Yes. In regard to the gentleman's question, we have since January of this year been in negotiations with the film company in question, American National Enterprises, in an attempt to obtain part of the Peterson films as well as the duplication of the sound. As I said, the North American Wildlife Research in Eugene, Oregon, is making an all-out effort to document as much as they can pertaining to the Bigfoot. It's interesting that the footprints that were left by Momo, although they are approximately 8 inches wide, and with a wide rubber glove, are not of the length that is commonly associated with the Bigfoot. In other words, it's not 16 or 17 inches in length, it's merely around 6 or 7 inches. I would add that we're involved in part of 16 or 17 or 18 inch tall footprint. It does, however, match the drawing the measurement of the footprint of this thing in ice that it was referring to earlier.
Well, the Bigfoot, then, it is a possibility that the creature, the Momo, is not an outer space visitor, and that therefore it could I'd say, limited to this, but maybe in the last few mid-mile areas for a long period of time, that might be actually discovered.
This is true. This was our troglodyte theory, that it's something that's been living here all along. And in all honesty, I will lean more towards the troglodyte theory than I will our alien visitation. Although while we were in Louisiana, Missouri, we did encounter and investigate some UFO sightings where some objects had come down in the hills and were reported by not only police officials but 12 witnesses at one time.
Have you compared any of these eyewitness accounts and pictures, or I should say the evidence, with Earl Knapp and asked him to compare his sightings to creatures from UFO? Are you familiar with the DNA filing that Earl Knapp?
Yes. Although I have never personally corresponded or talked with Mr. Knapp, I am familiar with the research he has done, especially along the line of the uncovering of the Academy report pertaining to UFOs.
So thank you very much for your question.
All right, thank you.
Go ahead, please. You're on the air. Excuse me, Mr. Garcia, listening in Oklahoma City. Can you explain that one? Well, can you top that one? We'll take another call. Go ahead, please.
What's that? Well, you've got too many people on the line, are you?
John, now that you're on the line, I'm in too with you. What question do you have?
Yeah, I thought I had somebody else.
John, we're talking with two gentlemen in Oklahoma City. They're paying the phone bill. So
all
ask
right.
A question. Yes.
Well, I didn't like you know, well, we didn't like you about 52 people, but he admitted there were 52 people that had seen the monster, and I thought that was described how he looked at 7 feet and front neck and a fuzzy face. Now, why did you call the United States Army with a national guy in it? Because the fuck gone, this monster.
We have found that, unfortunately, the police department was intending to slow down these reports as much as possible, whether it is that they do not want the publicity and we're trying to keep the publicity down, we do not know. We don't think they're censoring per se any information regarding people, but we do know that after we were down there in Louisiana, Missouri, that the cooperation by the police department became a little less and less on a voluntary basis. There seemed to be a little more reluctance to cooperate with some of the news media after we were there.
I'd imagine that the people who live in that area, Louisiana, Missouri, are generally considered very sober Midwesterners, people of the land, aren't they? This must be a little embarrassing to them to have something like this come out from under a rock in their area.
Yeah, and they are, after all, Missouri is a southern state.
Yeah.
And the people there is no really no middle ground. The people have either heard it, or seen it, or smelled it, and believe that there is something there, and the ones that have not had any of these happening to them are kind of way back, and they don't really believe it, but there is no middle ground with the people that would say, well, maybe.
Yeah, I understand. But we'll try another call. Go ahead, you're on the air.
You mentioned before that they thought that the bipod was from outer space. And I'd like to know, now, they restrict other alien sightings and everything, right?
Yes.
Okay, what percentage of them were friendly towards, I mean, you know, contact with friendly towards?
In our investigation, we found that 80% of the cases could be attributed to natural phenomena. 20% of the cases are unexplainable. Of these, a leading theory is that they are under reconnaissance by an advanced race. Of the three most commonly reported we have the most common is a 3.5 to 4 foot tall being apparently a life size man with an extremely large head. He's usually clothed in a silver or black tight fitting suit, much like a driving suit. He is usually accompanied with a weapon that has a stunning impact and not lethal. He appears to be the most friendly of the three. I do not have the figures before me on a percentage as to how many cases are friendly or not. Certainly the top three on both classifications, they act violently. But when observed from a distance, they appear to be curious and silent. In other words, they only react in my opinion violently when they are interfered with or are disturbed. And this is why we urge that they be approached friendly if they are to be approached and with extreme caution. Because man's reaction to them is to shoot them first. The people of Louisiana arm themselves, 150 strong, was reported, went up into the area, which is a up to 3,000 acre area, a very thick area, surrounded by many caves, it was almost impossible to find any place there. Then the police, several days later, conducted a search with approximately 20 people and found nothing. As a result of this, they are highly skeptical of it. But it is indeed interesting to talk of reactions to the aliens in here when they are concerned.
Okay, I have another question. This is supposedly a test for humans, so this is what your institution thinks, right?
Yes, yeah, it's one of the
series
offers.
Is it a test? Why did they put Mono and his cousins and everything in a place like Missouri? Now, I was in Missouri a couple of weeks ago, and most of it is fine and everything. Why didn't you put it in a more populated area?
As I said, usually when you study psychology, you find that you do not get involved with the test subjects. And I think certainly your rural community are your more easygoing people. They're not caught up in the rat race of the city. Certainly the people, in my opinion, that live in the country, they will notice the weather more, they will notice the beauty of the trees more, and possibly be more meaningful of life in that it concerns, you know, their cattle and the weather, and just be more noticeable a thing in the winter.
Well, not only that, Mr. Hughes, but as a former New York resident, New York City resident, I think Momo could walk right down 6th Avenue and nobody would take a second look there. In Missouri, they would, but not in New York. And here in Cleveland, I've seen people walk down the street here on our big main street, Euclid Avenue, without any pants on, and nobody looks around. So it would have to be a place like Missouri if there were to be any reaction at all. Thank you for the comment. Momo has never been sighted wearing any kind of clothing, has he?
No.
Well, listen, I have to do a commercial right now, and that's my lead-in to it. We'll be right back with you. Not if you want to, one of the greatest buys of your life. Get down today to Clothing Factory Outlet. Now, CFO has got double-knit blazers, double-knit slacks with a combined value of $90 both years for only $39.75 this week. How does CFO do it? Well, they bought out the entire overruns of two outstanding manufacturers. The blazers, completely hand-tailored, they are fully lined. They are 100% polyester with belted back and brass buttons. Very cool looking, and they're made to sell for $65. The slacks, too, are hand-tailored and flared, and they're made to sell for $25 a pair. So think of it, a double-knit sport coat worth $65, knit slacks selling elsewhere for $25. They're beautifully hand-tailored, and they're both yours for only $39.75. This week at CFO. There's more to choose from. They run wool tropical suits for $9, now $39.75. New fashion wide ties, $8.50, now $1. But there's always great savings for you at CFO at 2530 Superior Avenue. That's where you take the elevator up to keep your clothing costs down. They're open daily 9 till 6 and Sundays 10 till 5. And all Momo needs there is a nice blue blazer with buttons and those flared slacks. He fit right in New York. Not the right length hair and everything. All right, we'll try another call here. And you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, in regards to this creature, didn't a few years ago, when they investigated the Donald Snowman, I think back in the 50s, with the Lord Thomas, didn't that creature also give off a strange odor like sulfur? The smell of sulfur has been attributed to other accounts, yes.
The only difference there is that it was also wrong and said that it was pure white, if I'm not mistaken.
You're probably correct, yes.
And one other question. Didn't they, about 4 or 5 years ago, didn't they have sightings in either South America or Brazil?
Well, yes, they've had some since then. More recently, they've been found in Argentina. It's funny that they had not investigated these sightings more. You know, it seems like they were dropped. These come into existence. Now they're pushing to find out what they are. Why was the research dropped 2 years ago?
It's really hard to say why it was dropped or if it was dropped.
So many times these observations occur in the
okay, that was just a couple of questions I was curious about. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. By the way, speaking of other sightings, as I told Mr. Hughes before we went on the air, we had a call from Earl Neff before the show, and Earl gave me the number of a lady who had information on a sighting, I think somewhere in Kentucky or Tennessee, and Hayden Hughes has been informed of that. And Hayden Hughes, I know from this newspaper account that you went out in the country at night to look for this thing, didn't you?
Yes, sir, we did.
Well, sir, what would you have done if you had found him out there?
Well, in the fortitude of our office, I can say I would have the scientific curiosity to go up to it. Well, in the event, he had walked up to us and tapped us on the back while we were standing out there on the Harrison property, we may have been the first one across the river. Hope of camping out all night in an effort to try to record the sounds associated with him. At approximately 9:35 on Saturday evening, the scene was there, Mr. Harrison received a telephone call from a gentleman on the other side of the mountain, advising him that the train was just heard over there. We got into our car, we rolled around to the area. The police were notified, they came out. The area was restricted to people being on top, but we did receive special permission to pour our investigation on top of it. We did conduct a nighttime search again with these policemen less than 15 minutes after the thing was heard. We did not observe, smell, or hear, or were successful without reporting. We returned to the Harrison house. After some time, we did go back to the motel to get some badly needed sleep so we could start interviewing people the following day. The trip to the Louisiana area from here was a 1,300-mile trip, which was quite taxing on Bureau officials.
I can easily imagine what I'm really very impressed by the fact that you went through all that trouble. And I hope someday you will get what you want on tape, and I hope you'll call us and play it for us when you do.
I would say this, Mr. Thomas, that the Bureau will welcome any reports of unidentified flying objects or any being sightings or normal sightings. We can be reached at box 1281, Oklahoma City. And if anyone would like any free literature, I would be more than happy to mail them to UFOs.
Box 1281, Oklahoma City. Can they write to you by name, Hayden Hughes?
That would be fine.
All right, fine. It's H-E-W-E-S, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. I think you'll get some responses right now.
Hughes or Hughes, we have no publications we offer for sale. I am U.S. editor of the Canadian UFO Report magazine, professionally published 4 times a year. And I said, I will be more than happy to pay a free complimentary visit to any of our publishers.
All right, sure, good. We'll try another phone call, 578-1400, Hayden Hughes, Ben Garcia. Listening, go ahead.
Hello, Clyde?
Yes.
First thing, without a comment first, the gentleman said that they didn't know whether there was anything like a Momo ever reported in Ohio. Well, I was reading last week, since the Momo was accounting for, that there was something like this out of Kirtland, Ohio, about 100 years ago, and all the people were up in arms, and they were out in the woods and all, and they were sleeping, and one of the boys didn't sleep, so he went out and he heard something, and so he climbed a tree, and here this thing came underneath, and so then the rock didn't know about it, and it said something like, could this be the Momo that's in Missouri?
Hmm.
Now, I have a question. Who employs the gentleman that we're talking to? Who are they employed by? What was the question?
The listener wants to know who you are employed by.
Well, this is Ben Garcia. I'm employed by the state of Oklahoma.
No, but you're not employed by the government.
No, no, sir. We are.
Well, I think you're paying such a strange
order. We do this at our own time, at our own expense.
Excuse me, because of the way this telephone hookup is arranged, our guests in Oklahoma were not able to hear your last question. Would you repeat it again?
Since the strange odor, and they want to approach this being, animal, whatever it is, why don't they use dogs to locate it?
Well, dogs have been used in searches. The dogs will bark very particularly until the thing growls and gives off this high-pitched thrill, and then the dogs will not bark or have anything to do with it again.
Oh, really? Okay, so then if you can locate it somehow by using the dog, now how about using some kind of a dusting powder in an area that you could pick it up by radioactivity or something like this?
This is also possible with powder, fluorescence. If we have the necessary funds to go in with a full-fledged expedition to have tranquilizers and really go through the mountain area, it is very possible that we could capture the thing alive. But we are working at our own expense, at our own free time, in an effort to try to determine what Momo is.
So it isn't that. I thought it was a government project.
Often, we are hampered going into it without sophisticated equipment.
All right, sir, thank you very much, and I hope someday it will be a government project.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering if Mr. Hughes is saying that the UFOs are landing these, monsters, Momo, Vanny Momo.
He wants to know if possibly that UFOs are landing monsters like Momo. And the report in the newspaper here did mention several fireballs that went over a tree right before the Momo was sighted. If that's a correct report.
We did uncover several UFO observations in Louisiana. One was observed by a city of 12 witnesses. They were described as fireballs, varying colors, that came down in the hills. We were unable to find any specific landing area, but that does not rule out the possibility that they are from the UFO. I would say, based on evidence uncovered, that it is more probable that they are ancient, non-human type, something like the missing wing, or troglodyte, that has lived, as the German said from Ohio, before going back as far as 100 years. And I think history will bear me out that it goes back further than this, over 5 continents, and it's very possible that it is a living, missing wing.
That whole theory that there is a kind of a species of man or ape that is the bridge between creatures that look more like apes and creatures that look more like men. This has been kicking around for a long, long time. And if we were to find one of these creatures and bring it into a laboratory and actually find that it was half man, half ape, and that we all descended from it, do you gentlemen have any idea what this would mean to religion and philosophy? Have you ever thought about that?
Yes, sir. I have talked with a lot of people pertaining to the religious side of it, and for some, the belief that there is a higher intelligence elsewhere in our planet is very hard to face. In other words, the supreme conceit of modern-day man is that we're the highest in creation after the Creator. It is very possible that it will shake up the religious belief if something like this is found to be the missing link, or if it is found to be from another inhabitable world. I look upon in my Father's house and many mansions
that our Earth is the one pebble on the beach in the overall community of other inhabitable worlds, and is our own astronaut and cosmonaut of entering into space and to the nearby planets. I think that it is very probable that one of these other beings stepped off of their world and have been coming here since our recorded history. Curious as that we are a life form, but throughout our history, we have been confined to our own planet, and now we are no longer confined to our planet, and I think they have become concerned that we're going to bring our history of wars into a possible peaceful society of space and have done no more than stepped up a peaceful reconnaissance. Now, we have evidence to support this in that every major scientific development of man, there has been an increase in close UFO observations.
If I may, I might add this in regards to the aspect of religion. At our UFO symposium here this year, we had a man from New York, and he's a Presbyterian minister, Dr. Barry Downing. He has a book entitled, Bible and UFOs. And he is a man of strong faith, and I asked him point blank whether some of his observations in regards to UFOs and the Bible were ever borne out to be true, and that we were, as said, a transplant from another world. What he thought it would be to was the faith of the people as far as religion went. And he said that he did not believe that the faith of the people would be shipwrecked, so to speak. The people would have faith, and that's the same way as we could take the atomic bomb and all other modern technological advances that on the probably of research that people would probably fall down and still be supposed to go.
Well, we may soon find out. I don't know. But in any case, to both you, Dan Garcia, and Hayden C. Hughes, good hunting, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending this hour with us here in Cleveland. Good night.